Hi, everybody. Welcome to Talking Heartland. This is the show where we are recapping back episodes of the Heartland TV show, and we are on season 11, episodes 7, 8, and 9 today. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Michelle's here.
Hey, everyone.
Yes. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, so these episodes, they're interesting.
They're a mixed bag.
Yeah, season 10 was so strong, and then they started off well, and then the last episode of our show, the last three were not the best, and now we've got these.
And then we have these. Oh god,
you put that on the TV box set. But I don't know, some problems. And then maybe it's just going to happen when you have a show that's on this long. So you're trying desperately to keep onto your core cast, which it's clearly they have some problems the last two seasons with that.
Mm-hmm. It tends to happen a lot. I mean, you have these shows where, you know, they go past, say, seven seasons.
Right.
It's just so difficult to have characters. Like, every show goes through it, like Dawson's Creek or a show that's just like about a family. It's hard to keep, you know, the older kids as they get older. It's hard to keep people as they get more famous. It's hard to keep people that are just burnt out and just don't want to work or, you know, are building their own families away from set. So it's just hard, and especially a show that's so small scale like this one and has that sort of core unit. You know, they just have to up the drama with who they have and try and bring in new people, and it's sort of working and not working to various degrees.
yeah I mean, it's amazing the show lasted this long and is still going. It's pretty remarkable for that kind of show, because I feel like the really long shows, I mean, I guess ER was pretty long. There are some drama shows, but I feel like a lot of those long shows are more comedies, like Always Sunny or something like that.
Yeah, or I mean, you have shows like, you know, Smallville and Supernatural that, you know, they just went on for like a decade, but again, they're more easy sort of to revolve a cast around their sort of main, you know, two or three people. But yeah, it's hard when it's about a family.
Yeah, because something like ER, they can just bring in all different
Different doctor, you know,
different people Grey's working. Anatomy.
Yeah, I mean, Grey's Anatomy is unrecognizable compared to the first season. Yeah, I mean, there's an entire season of Grey's Anatomy where Meredith, she had COVID. I think it was the COVID season where she was just in a bed the entire season, like. You know, she probably got paid a lot of money for being in that season, but yeah, she just wasn't around. So, you know, shows are getting away with not even having their main character around when they get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough gig. You just gotta lie there.
Find a bed.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You do have shows that it's just like, wow, they last forever. Like, I mean, obviously The Simpsons, but animation, you can
keep going.
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting about The Simpsons is that it's basically, I feel like it's had sort of four different shows. Like, it just keeps rebooting itself within itself. Yeah. And so fans who actually keep watching there's like distinct periods where it's within the show, which is... Mm-hmm. Is kind of interesting, but yeah, like It's Always Sunny, 15 seasons, amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm trying to think of ones. I mean, even things like Parenthood, you know, that was a show that lasted, you know, a handful of seasons, and you know, I think maybe the last three seasons, their finale count, like they were so on the bubble all the time, their finales always worked as series finales. So yeah, even something like that, Heartland is so unique in that I feel like the creators are so confident that the audience, you know, is still there, and their network is still very, you know, much.
Well, and they must have just a continual eye on Amber Marshall, because she's the one that you absolutely have to have her in a season of the show. You couldn't. So she must be the one that they are almost like, is everything okay? Yeah. How's it going? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't think she ever did any sort of Hallmark movies or any sort of Lifetime movies up until sort of more recently. Like, she was very sort of content to just stay on her show. But it's harder, you know, for other shows where, you know, I mean, those Stranger Kids, you know, from the Stranger Things set, like, they must have been getting offers of, like, in the millions to be in movies away from the show, whereas, you know, she seems to just be content of being Amy Fleming.
It's true. Yeah, thank goodness. Well, the first episode we're talking about is called Our Sons and Daughters. And in this episode, we have old friends return to Heartland and Amy tries to help their son form a connection with a dude ranch horse. Georgie, Adam, and Wyatt go on a road trip. Peter worries when Katie doesn't come home from a trail ride. You know, this is one of those cases where I wish I knew sooner what the plot was going to be, because I would love to have somebody on this podcast who is on the spectrum or has loved ones on the spectrum, that kind of a thing, because it's really hard to kind of talk about it.
Since, yeah, exactly.
You know, but they have Mackenzie and Ian coming back, and they were previously on an episode where Mackenzie was friends with Lou, and Ian became her white knight, rescuing her, and then they actually had the wedding at Heartland.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's interesting, like, that the show is that sort of confident in itself of, like, bringing a character back that hasn't been there for, like, 9 seasons.
Yeah,
the audience will be here for this.
Well,
the audience knows who she is.
I was like, what? As I'm trying to remember, sort of the details.
Yeah.
Because, it had been a really long time. I don't know. I thought this one was pretty good. It's definitely the best of the three. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. The best of the three and sort of the most sort of heartlandy of the three. And it was sort of very, not a lot going on. You sort of had your two, your sort of three main sort of plots, and nothing really beyond that.
So they have this son, Grayson, who is autistic, and they are very, very stressed out about it. It's difficult. They're very protective of him. I found it kind of shocking when she pulls him away from Chance at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really surprised me. And especially the horse, you know, I was sort of worried about the horse getting spooked. I'm so glad that never happened. But yeah, like, her sort of fear and you know stress and anxiety of, you know, the care that she's had to provide for her child, you know, you could sort of see it in that scene of, like, she's just on the edge all of the time. You know, it must be so hard. You know, I have a brother who has, you know, ADHD, and that's hard in itself. But yeah, autism is just, and it's, there's so many different aspects to it. Every child is different.
Well, that's why I was going to say that I think it's hard to portray people on the spectrum, because I think it manifests itself so differently in every person. And I think because of that, it can come across as kind of cloying.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched, I can't even remember the name of the show, but it was a Jason Kateham show from Parenthood, and, you know, I'm a big fan of him and his shows, but yeah, he had a show on Amazon that was about young adults on the spectrum, as we see it was called. And I believe his child is on the spectrum, and that's why he wrote a storyline in Parenthood. But now he has this new show where all of the characters are on the spectrum. And I watched one episode, I sort of looked it up, and I saw that the community is just not happy with it. They're not happy with the portrayal, they're not happy with, you know, not the sort of research that was done and not reaching out to the autistic community and professionals before making the show. And I sort of stopped watching it, because that's sort of the, you know, the thing you want, to sort of watch something and know that, you know, it's the correct portrayal, it's not hurting anyone. But yeah, I felt sort of like, I don't want to watch this thing that's making, you know, people that are, you know, this is their lives and it's making them uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think it's tricky. I actually just saw a play last night that had that was about somebody with Asperger's, and I don't know, like, I think it was well intentioned, but it made me uncomfortable. And I don't know, I think it's a tricky thing to pull off. I didn't watch that the Sia movie, but I know that that really offended a lot of people.
I stayed away from that one.
Because it's on one hand, sometimes you get the autistic neurodivergent people are like scary, which I felt like they were in a little bit in this, a little bit in that tone. But then also you have the, like, they're special, and, you know, like both of them are not great. It's tricky, I think, to write it.
Very much so.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to hear if they had, you know, someone that they spoke to before they, you know, went in the writer's room to write this episode, or if, you know, one of the writers has experience. Because there has been, you know, some things in our comments, and just like doing research before, you know, we recap and looking over that Adam, you know, a lot of people suspected that that was his character, which, you know, wound up not being true. And maybe that, you know, initial conversation is what led to this episode.
I guess I don't really understand why you would bring your child to a dude ranch, to a working ranch, and not want him to, like, with supervision, be around the horses. Like, what? Why are you there? I thought it was a little bit weird. They seem to be sort of like openly hostile to him being around the horses or with the horses or with almost with anybody. So I'm like, why did you come to Heartland? It's a ranch.
Yeah, exactly. It would be very difficult to sort of shield them from things when you're, you know, you're camping in the wilderness for, you know, I guess like a week that they were there. But yeah. There's a lot more things than just horses on that ranch, you know. There's all sorts of, you know, I'm sure there's like snakes and bears and you know, lots of different things.
But at the very least, I mean, if you go to a ranch, you should expect to spend time with the horses and your child. Like, her reaction was just so strong that it was kind of shocking.
It was kind of interesting that she was so against it, and the husband, you know, he seemed to be really into the idea of animal therapy. So yeah, it was a bit sort of, it took me back a little bit that they were so on different pages. And it's like, surely this conversation, you know, should have happened before they got there. Maybe it's something that they've been arguing about for a long time.
I do think it would be incredibly difficult to have a child on the spectrum who's nonverbal. I think that would be incredibly stressful. I can't imagine. People do it and do a great job, and I admire them so much. But I think, because I am such a communicative person, that would be very difficult for me.
So,
Grayson, he loves planes, and he grows to really love Chance. And I thought that by the end, that bond was really sweet.
Yeah, a bit of a soft spot for Chance, because Chance is the name of my dog.
Oh, yeah.
I named him after the dog in Homeward Bound.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so
I
you know.
So Katie is being difficult in this episode, and she doesn't want any food. Like, she's very picky. She tells Jack that she wants sushi, which I frankly am surprised that they even have sushi in Hudson that you can purchase.
Yeah, they do make Hudson seem like it just doesn't. It has Maggie's, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's Maggie's. It has sort of the feed store, and that's it.
But then they throw it away just because she doesn't want it. I'm like, oh, come on. I bet Georgie or somebody would eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw it away. I'm not a fan
of. I've never tried sushi. I just can't. I cannot get past it.
Even the rolls?
No, can't do it.
Because I understand, like, the raw, but, like, the rolls, it's just basically, I mean, usually that's cooked. So it's pretty much just like rice and big crab meat. But yeah, you should do it. You should break out and do
my comfort zone.
Yes, you should. You shouldn't be like Katie. but I do think that it's not good to cater a child like that. I mean I know that some kids are super picky eaters, and the way that my mom handled it is basically you could have, if you could make it yourself, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that was always an option, but that was the dinner, you know. They were not my mom was not about making separate things for, you know, each of us or anything like that. That would not have happened. I mean, we weren't very picky, but I don't know. I think it's fine to have another option that they can make themselves, but I don't think you should cater to kids and their whims.
Yeah. I saw a thing, I can't remember who said it, but it said with his kids, he will give them something, you know, give them, you know, chicken, and if they don't like it, they'll say fair enough, I'll try it and cook it a different way and you can have it again, and if you don't like that, you know, then we can, you know, talk about you not having chicken anymore, but, you know, just having it one time and then deciding I don't like that, I'm never having it again, when, you know, there's so many different options in how you cook things. So yeah, he basically said they can try it twice, and if they don't like it, then we can, you know, have a conversation, but we're not, you know, ruling out a staple just because the kids decided I don't like that.
Well, and like, your mom or dad is not a line order cook,
you know? Exactly.
You have to either not eat or eat what is provided for
what's
you
there.
So I thought Jen was really funny in this scene when she comes in.
Yeah, I really like her energy. I feel like she brings a good energy to the show.
I think Lisa Drew is in general an underrated comedic actress. I think she is really funny. She was in that Love Guaranteed on Netflix with Rachel Lee Cook, and she was hilarious in that movie. Like, it's a fine movie, but I thought she was really funny in it. And I've just noticed that she can bring the comedy if given the chance.
She was funny. I'm trying to remember. I'm sure I've seen her in plenty of things, but yeah, just the way she sort of comes in and is just so high strung and so like bubbly, and then she can sort of have these really like tender moments talking about, you know, grief and things, and then she sort of sort of excited to see more of her.
Yeah, she was great, and I like the. Yeah, she's like, I've got the gluten-free pancakes. I got the and I also liked her response to this painting. So Aunt Evelyn sends Lisa and Jack a painting, and she's like, I don't know what to say. It's funny.
That is always like a challenging thing of like, I don't think I've ever been in that position of, you know, buying someone buying you something that you have to sort of put on display or where. Yeah. Like, how do you tell them you don't like it?
Well, and Lisa, the Aunt Evelyn seemed to think that was her favorite artist, but she's like, no.
Yeah, they've basically been at a gallery and she said that, you know, oh, that's great. And Lisa's probably went, oh, yeah, okay. And then that's just translated
her favorite artist. This is why you should not lie.
Yeah. Yeah, just say it looks like a five-year-old, you know, painted it.
Like, it looked pretty run-of-the-mill.
Modern
art to me, but evidently it had like trash on it, so I think that was part of the thing that they were like,
didn't like. You know, each to their own.
Yeah. But it's cute when Jack tries to make Lisa feel included and he puts it up there and everything. That was fun, and everybody's like, what is that painting? And I liked at the end when they said, let's go to the gallery and pick out something we both like. That was nice.
Yeah, that was sweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they still haven't done a rock ceremony for Lindy.
Yeah, that's true. I know that they have the same twins playing Lindy. Sure. So maybe wait there, that happens when they're a bit older, when she's a bit older, and she can have lines and things. But yeah, they still haven't done it.
No, they haven't done it. So we have Georgie. She is going out with Wyatt, and Peter wants to meet Wyatt, so that's kind of going on. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole trip between with Wyatt to the Gopher Museum, and she thinks it's going to just be a date for them, and then Adam ends up getting invited. Which is like, it's one thing to, I guess, have a third wheel on an activity, but to have your ex-boyfriend is very weird.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess Wyatt is just really insecure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like both his sort of storylines in this episode of, you know, these episodes, sorry. They do make sense because he is so awkward. And he plays that really well. So yeah, I absolutely believe that he would do something that, like, you know, sort of, you know, make that seem like a good decision in his head.
Yeah. What did you think of this Gopher Museum?
Yeah, this was so weird. I was like, I don't get it.
It does seem like the kind of place that you would go to on a road trip, you know?
It's a total road trip thing, but not like a day trip of just like going out of your way to go to it. But yeah, again, it does sort of fit why. It does seem like a little bit quirky and a little bit awkward, and you know, the idea that he thought that this was the funniest, weirdest thing is just like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it must be a place that actually exists. I mean, I doubt they'd make all that for this. It must be in Ontario. But they get there and the Gopher Museum is closed, and she ends up taking they're gonna break in, which seemed like a very bad idea. But then Georgie goes to the diner, she talks to people, she finds somebody who knows the maintenance guy, lets them in to the Gopher Museum. And they have a pretty fun time. You have this conversation though between Adam and Wyatt. And Adam says, you like her. And he says, if you don't get out of the car and talk to her, you're dumber than you look. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. They have like a good dynamic, despite the fact that the history between them.
Yeah. And I guess Wyatt is just scared. He's just nervous, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. He is just a very sort of awkward kid, and that definitely comes through.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know why they can't just be friends. Why do we have to have these important, huge, big relationships in high school? I don't know. But anyway, the drama is there. And they end up having to leave because they find out that that Katie is lost. And I don't know what on earth anybody was thinking having Brick and Katie by themselves on these horses. Like, that just seemed crazy to me.
Yeah, they're so little. And it feels like the dude ranch is, you know, a little bit away. You know, they can't see it from the house. So
somebody had to help them get on the horses and get them all set up. And they're like, okay, you go out by yourselves.
Yeah.
Like, that just seemed crazy to me.
Yeah. And especially because they're like, oh, they're going to see Mitch and Mitch isn't even there. It's like, surely that's something that they would sort of check beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all have cell phones. You can just text him and find out he's there. that was just, I don't think that anybody at Heartland would actually do that. It just seemed crazy to me. But nevertheless, Katie's horse gets spooked, and then she ends up wandering by herself. And she's had all of this problems with Peter in this episode because she's missing her mother, and which is a whole nother barrel of worms mess that, you know, I just don't think Lou would have. I don't think it's in her character to just leave her daughter like that for so long.
Yeah, yeah. I do appreciate the fact that they are sort of showing that it's difficult on Katie. But yeah, I agree. It just is such a ridiculous storyline for the Lou that we've, you know, known for the last decade.
Yeah. So then Peter, well, Georgie comes back. So I guess they were only an hour away. But that means Katie was missing for well over an hour. So that's scary. But then Peter finds her, and she's back to liking her dad again, which was cute.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And then we have Grayson riding Chance. First he pets Chance, which was very sweet, and and then he rides and Mackenzie and Ian kind of make up and remember their wedding and everything. And I did like Lisa. Well, she takes down the painting and then she talks to Georgie and she says, well, Wyatt is probably scared of you. You're confident, determined, you know. So Lisa's pretty good for advice.
Yeah. She sort of steps into that role more. And it's different, obviously, when, you know, she puts out the advice for Lou, it's sort of not met with the same reaction of Georgie. It's sort of met with a bit of hostility.
And then Georgie says, does this ever get any easier? No, it does not. And then you have Grayson playing with Katie and Brick, which was really cute.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. And then our big moment. So Georgie goes to talk to Wyatt. She's like, why was Adam on this trip? I was expecting it to be just us. And then they have their big kiss. It was very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, they use the sort of surroundings that they have access to just make the scene like 10 times more beautiful. And yeah, it was a really, really good first kiss for those two.
Yeah. They have really good chemistry. They're good together. Yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I give this 1 in 8. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if I would, you know, rating this so high just because it's the best one in the bunch, but I agree, yeah, like 7.58 for me.
We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode, and that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies Podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies Podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
All right. So then the next episode is called Truth Be Told. And this, oh, and I forgot to say that the previous episode, that episode was directed by Chris Potter. So that's kind of fun. So the next episode is called Truth Be Told, and it's when Tim's erratic behavior sparks concern from his loved ones. Jack suspects something else is going on. This one also directed by Chris Potter, so he's just crushing it.
Yeah, some people are taking time off. He's working two jobs on the same show.
So this episode you have Tim being difficult. He's being ornery, he's being tough. You have Jack starting to wonder if he's getting back in his old vices with pills and alcohol.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's something else. He's avoiding the doctor, and at the end we find out that he has a tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, at least I guess there was a reason for Tim being terrible. So usually he's just terrible just because he's Tim.
Yeah, and I saw sort of the writing on the wall for him and Casey when this happened. But yeah, it just sort of, I was surprised that they went this route. You know, I really did think it was going to be from concussions, which is really scary. Like, concussions are, you know, are no joke. They really should be taken seriously every time. I absolutely thought that they were going to have a storyline highlighting that, but yeah, it's interesting that they went to sort of this route of I'm having to possibly have surgery. He handled it the exact way that I would expect him to handle it, of shutting everyone out. And
because I love him and Casey, I don't want them to break up. And he really should not be driving. What if he has one of those spasms?
The doctor was like, trust your judgment kind of thing, and I'm like, that's the last person you should be telling to trust his judgment. have you met <That's>
true. Yeah, and you should, if you pass out sporadically without any warning, it seems to be, you should not be driving.
He's having to wear sunglasses, that's not good.
So we also have Holly coming in with this horse, that she's a friend of Val's. she comes in with this horse named Holloway, and she wants it to be a jumper. It is very expensive, but Amy works with it and thinks that it should be a bronc.
Yeah, I like when Amy sort of decides that horses, you know, have you know, dreams and goals of like, this horse doesn't want to do this, it wants to do this, and it's like, yeah, okay, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a true thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that's real. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole thing with Georgie and Amy at the posh barbecue was kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. You sort of see how similar both of them are. I loved, you know, Georgie just like, can we leave? And he was like, yeah, I wanted to leave the second we got here.
Yeah.
It's not their scene.
Yeah, and I did think it was kind of funny too. And I think it was why it comes up as like, well, that is a dress. Georgie. but all the girls are, of course, snobs at the party, yeah. At the barbecue party. And she's like, and Georgie says, oh, you're going to have barbecued caviar. And it's like, I don't think that's how it works. But Georgie does say that boys are dumb because Wyatt's being ridiculous.
Oh my God. He, like, what is it he says? Like,
hey, bud. Hey, bud.
Oh my God. He's so awkward.
And he's just really, really nervous about their relationship after they had the big kiss. But he's also super jealous of Dylan, Dylan with our British accent, and fans of Good Witch will recognize Dylan. He played Reese Matthew Bond, but he played Nick on Good Witch. So. Mm-hmm. People will recognize. I was like, who is that? I know him. Oh, it's but he didn't have his accent in Good Witch.
Oh, he doesn't? Yeah, I had to look him up and be like, are you British? Or is this like, I feel like he's maybe putting on the posh British accent a little bit more. And that's why it sounded a bit off to me initially. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. You can do the accent.
It's kind of funny because I don't think they ever really explain why he has an accent, like where he's from, or did they? And I missed it.
I think he just does. Yeah, I think he just does. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I was nervous when Tim is holding Lindy. I'm like,
ugh. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is where I'm like, this feels like very early seasons, Tim. It feels like you maybe wouldn't take the risk as much now.
Because he almost collapsed and he's holding her. And I'm like, ah!
Yeah. Yeah, if that couch wasn't behind him, then that could have been very, very bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's just acting really irresponsibly. And then he's getting mad at Jade for, like, practicing more.
Yeah, which makes practicing no sense. More and, like, planning her future.
Yeah. I felt bad for Jay there. And yeah, we also have Ty being. So Ty is asked to go back to Mongolia because Tilla, the horse they worked on, is having problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Who thought this was a good idea? I have no idea.
Yeah. You know, we're obviously just going off of, you know, things that we're seeing, you know, when those episodes aired and comments, but it feels like nobody liked Mongolia. So really, yeah. You know, even, you know, we're watching all these years later. So the idea that they saw that reaction and then just decided to do it again this season is crazy to me. But like, yeah, like, let's take Amy over. Let's take Tim over. Oh, it's just such a weird storyline.
Yeah, and so they offered to pay to have Amy go to Mongolia with Ty. And it's weird because in the next episode, once he gets there, they're not even like paying attention to Tila hardly at all. Like,
yeah,
I just feel like these people that are really going to pay thousands of dollars to go from Canada to Mongolia. Your ticket's going to be $1,200 at least. And so are they really going to pay thousands of dollars for this horse to be treated? I feel like.
Yeah. And it looked like an operation of like two people when Ty got there. It doesn't seem like a bustling, you know, rescue center or breeding program or whatever it was. You know, it just seems such a bizarre storyline.
Well, and so Amy's passport has expired, which doesn't matter. Actually, I don't know how long Canadian passports are, but if they're like they are here, they last for 10 years. And it wasn't that long ago that she went to help with Kane in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So her passport shouldn't have expired. But anyway, so Ty is going to go ahead of her instead of them going together. And Tim just thinks that's insane, which I agree with him on this one.
I agree with him. At least they're sort of aware of the fact that it is sort of crazy. And yeah, it just doesn't fit well with Amy as well, of her being so game to do this. I mean, I understand that, you know, she is right that, you know, Lindy won't remember. But at the same sort of, it just doesn't seem like something that Amy would be all for as well. So yes, it's a confusing one for me to sort of put straight in my head.
Yeah. And so Amy decides that she's going to talk to Holly in Holly's language of money, basically. And she says, look, this horse can get a lot of money as a bronc. Can do very, very well. So that seems to do the trick.
Just mention money and that's it.
And then Tim, he misses his doctor's appointment. He's right outside, but he decides not to go in. And that's when Dr. Verante comes over, which, I mean, thank goodness, I guess he has a doctor who makes house calls. But he finds out he has a tumor. He says he doesn't want the surgery, which to me is crazy. Yeah. Like, I mean, I understand that it could affect your way of life, but like a brain tumor is not some little thing that you can just, it's not like it's skin cancer or something like that. That's more benign. No, this is like a big deal.
He has to find out, you know, is it cancer or is it benign, and you know, is it something that can be removed? You know, he has to find out all the answer to these questions, and he has to do it very quickly. So it just, you know, it fits well that Tim would brush it off.
It's ridiculous.
But
we have Ty saying goodbye to the family, and he says to Lindy, he says, I'm going to watch the sun rising and I'm going to imagine the sun setting with you at Heartland. So that was cute,
even though I'm annoyed that he's leaving again.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, just don't go.
I'm not sure the lady's name. Paula. Yeah, Paula, I said it wrong. I said it was Holly. No, it's Paula. Anyway, she decides to train Holloway as a bronc. And then they must have been short on this episode because we get this long montage of them all horseback riding.
Yeah sometimes you do that was weird.
With the song, I don't know what that song was, but
slow motion and just
so I would give this one 7.
Yeah 7, that's fair.
Okay, then the last episode is called Challenges, and it's Amy tries to get everything at Heartland organized before joining Ty on a work-related journey. And They don't have the director on IMDb for this one, so I don't know who directed it, but anyway. This episode, we have the majority of the episode is spent with Amy and Georgie and Mitch working on a jump for their training. They evidently have a jump that is going to be in the Olympics, which is has water on the jump, and Flame is really struggling with that. And so Mitch agrees to build them a jump for them in the spot where Ty built the jumps for Amy back way back. So that was kind of a cute throwback, and the reason that they have a course they can use, but at the very beginning, she falls off the horse into the water, Georgie, and Dylan, it's his aunt. And so Dylan sees it and he's like, I think you're supposed to stay on the horse. I don't know. What did you think about this episode?
I like this episode in terms of like the Georgie stuff. It's just sort of the Mongolia stuff that sort of brings it down a little bit. And I guess this was their mid-season finale as well. So I sort of knew that they were going to have some sort of a cliffhanger. I was just like, hopefully nobody gets sick this time.
Yeah, I agree. All the Mongolia stuff was just like, ugh. I did like when Tim's like, what's wrong with these two? Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's just made even more complicated with the fact that, you know, Lou isn't going to actually be there until, you know, the next day, and nobody's going to meet Amy at the hospital, at the airport. So it's just like, if that was me, I would be like, just forget it.
Yeah, and then when Tim is like, you know, when Jack is offering to go with Amy, you're like, wow, that's a, because he hates traveling, so that's a gesture. And then Tim says he will go, but he can hardly walk. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, and you know, at least a little bit of Ty knows a little bit of what he's walking into. You know, he's you know, been there for a while. Whereas Amy, she'll be so out of her element with all these different factors. So, yes.
I did think it was funny when Tim says that they've got the world's oldest babysitter. Because Lisa's gone too.
Lisa's gone too, yeah.
So it's just a bad idea. Don't go to Mongolia. I'm sure Mongolia is lovely, but not where they are with the poachers and everything. And I just, what are they going to do? I don't really understand. Yeah. I mean, I guess they can help Tilla, but I don't know. It seems like a lot for a horse that's not even a main horse. It's not like it's Spartan.
Yeah. It's so difficult because they haven't done a good job of making us understand why Ty is so renowned as a vet now, but only him. They don't have any other vets in Mongolia that has, you know, got his capabilities, even though he's been a vet for just a couple of years. Like, I understand him going there for the experience, but it feels like he's the only vet. He's not like learning off of anybody. He's not like apprenticing in any type of way. They're just sort of building him up of like, Ty's the only person that can do this. And I'm like,
yeah,
that doesn't make sense, even though we love Ty.
Yeah, and if you're going to spend thousands of dollars to bring people over, you would think you'd at least be taking care of the horse well. Till looked terrible.
Yeah. Terrible, yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. No wonder he's sick.
Yeah. And so then you have Jade trying to get Tim to help her, but Tim just shrugs it off. And he just keeps getting worse and worse. And then he asks Billy to help Jade because and he knows he can't really do it, then why in the world does he think he can go to Mongolia?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems he's sort of trying to put things in place of, you know, the things that he can't do, you know, coaching Jade, his relationship with Kate. Like, he seems to be accepting of those things, but for some reason he thinks that, you know, he's running out of time when he doesn't even have the information that he needs to sort of make all these decisions yet. He's just sort of, you know, going off the fact that he has very limited time.
Yeah, you at least need to,
you know, find all the information.
Get all the MRIs and everything done. Mm-hmm. And he has that whole conversation with Casey. Casey's sad about her brother, and she kind of goes on and on about how she couldn't go through an experience like that again. And I don't know. I feel like he's let it go too far already. He just needs to rip the Band-Aid off and just tell, because it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. And I also feel like it doesn't really fit well with Jack's character to, you know, stay quiet about it. It just feels like,
oh yeah,
when it brings in that when he could injure himself and get someone else injured because of his symptoms, it really feels like Jack would step up and say something.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you think about it, when he made the promise to Lisa, and then he told Amy, and that was way less like pressing.
Yeah, no consequences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you also have Georgie talking to Mitch about Lou, that relationship, and you have also Georgie and Jade, and Jade is teasing her about Dylan and his hot accent.
Yeah, it's fun to sort of see how far they've come and you know, how close friends they are now.
Yeah,
they have really good chemistry together.
So Georgie is able to do the jump, and then Amy mm-hmm. does it. Because of course Amy is
champion.
Yeah, I don't know why she's not going to the Olympics.
Yeah, because she was doing all different things. She can only stick with one thing for one season.
Right. So Tim says that he should go because he needs to spend time with Amy. And then he tells Jack about the tumor and says, "Oh, don't, you can't tell anybody." And then Casey confronts Tim and they break up, which made me really sad.
Yeah.
We also see Dylan watching Georgie jump, and mm-hmm. we find out that he is not only a possible love interest, but he's also going to be competing in the Summer Olympics. So a bunch of Olympians on our hands here.
Yeah.
And then Ty is trying to tell Amy not to come. The poachers are burning down stables. I didn't even know. It's just supposed to be like trauma. Yeah, mm-hmm. like a mess. And tells her not to go, but of course Amy forgets her phone, and so she doesn't get the message.
Yeah, not only does she forget her phone, but she forgets her passport as well.
You're right.
I'm like the least prepared person for this trip. You should not be going.
Yes. So that's how it's kind of ended. I guess that's the cliffhanger. So Amy's going off to Mongolia and with Tim, who can barely walk. And yet, I don't even know how none of these people have noticed. I mean, they've noticed that he's a little bit cranky. Not noticed that he's literally like collapsing all over the place?
Yeah.
Wearing these sunglasses so all the time and stuff like that. So this was the end of the like you said, mid-season finale. It's not the best. I mean, maybe I should have given the other one a 7.5 and give this one a 7, but it's definitely worse than and the last episode, 6.5.
Yeah. It's just not a good, mid-season finale. It's not a good storyline. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that it's not good. It's just sort of a rehash of what happened last season. So it doesn't have as much of an impact. So yeah, 6.5.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think of these three episodes, if they are maybe ones you really like. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Put it in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And Michelle, where can people find you?
On Twitter, at Michelle R. Benson.
Great. You can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And also make sure you're following the podcast at Homeworkies Pod and Homeworkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave us your 5-star ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have our patron group and merch store, and there is Heartland inspired merch at the merch store. So check that out. And thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.